Blog Talk Radio.
Church,
No more pretending like everything's okay. None of that stuff. The word that he's going to give us on tonight, I believe many of us have been through. I believe many of us are going through. And I know I just went through it. And so based on some things that a season that I was in, and I just call it a season because we all have seasons. We all have those wilderness experiences. And the thing about the wilderness is only one or two things could happen. You're either going to die in the wilderness or you're going to survive in the wilderness. And when you survive in the wilderness, you could come out the wilderness and be able to tell your wilderness story. Amen. And so tonight, not only am I just going to be sharing my wilderness experience and my wilderness story, I'm going to be sharing what the Word of God, you know, some of the wilderness experiences in the Word of God. But before I go on, let me just kind of give a little brief testimony. I have been going through some things, and I was in spiritual warfare without getting deep personal and all that and all the gory details. But I was definitely in spiritual warfare. The devil was trying to take your girl out mentally and emotionally, because if he could get to our mind, then he could get to our heart, and he could get to our actions. So our mind, we got to protect our mind, because that's where the war takes place. And if he gets into our mind by what we're giving our attention to, then he's going to get into the heart of man. And I know they say the heart of man is the mind, and that is, but then there's the soul. Maybe I should say the soul of man. So it goes from the mind or the heart of man to the soul of man. And once your soul is sick, then your actions are going to reflect a sick soul. Amen. So the enemy was busy. And I'm not going to just give him so much credit, because we make choices. We make decisions and we make choices that put us in situations. The people in the wilderness did not have to be in the wilderness for 40 years. They was in the wilderness for 40 years because they made choices to not be obedient. And sometimes we don't even know we're not being obedient. Sometimes we don't even know that we're in rebellion. Sometimes we don't know that we're not really hearing from God. Amen. We're just going through life and we're thinking just because it seemed right or it might look right or, you know, none of the obvious is going on. We're just going through life. And then one day we wake up and we find ourselves deep in the wilderness. And so many things transpire just in the process of that. And talking to people and those who know me well, or my spiritual mentor and my pastor and different people who, you know, that I was talking to through this process that was either trying to push me through or pull me down. Amen. And those that were trying to push me through this process, I didn't want to hear it. I was consumed and I didn't want to hear it. So, how many know that when we don't want to hear it, we run? So I was running and I kept saying, well, the Lord ain't ready, the Lord ain't ready, the Lord ain't ready. And what I did for those 2 months, to be totally transparent with you, because this didn't just start after the 2 months took place. The transition, what I was going through, had started during before the 2 months. And I felt that it was my duty as a believer to sit myself down because I was out of order. And I was out of order, and I felt like it was my duty to sit down and let the Lord minister to me and give me a spirit of revival, repentance, and just show me some of the areas in my life that needed corrected. And so I caught myself sitting down, and one of the things I found out, I see the principle of telling someone in leadership to sit down. I think that it is important that we, you know, that we correct ourselves, but many of us would rather sit down than just to make the right decision. And so I'm going to say that again. Many of us would rather sit down than to make the right decision. Sometimes we're doing something that God is not pleased with, and he's telling us to stop. But we, in our religious spirit, say, well, you know, I'm just going to sit down. Why? We're saying we're going to sit down because why? Because I want to keep doing what I'm doing. And so if I'm going to keep doing what I'm doing, Lord, I'm going to honor you by sitting down. But see, that's the biggest trick of the enemy, is to get you to sit down. Because once he could get you to sit down, he could get you isolated, is the time that he could begin to attack you. And if you're not And if you're isolated, you know, Jesus sent out his disciples by two. Lord, where are you going? Because this is not where I was planning tonight. But Jesus sent out his disciples by two. He did that for a reason, because going in pairs, there was some protection versus going alone. See, Jesus himself went into the wilderness for 40 days and 40 nights. He went alone, but he was the Son of the living God. He was the Word in flesh, and even the Word in flesh was tempted by the devil. Amen? He was tempted the whole 40 days and 40 nights by the devil. So how much more you think we wouldn't be tempted? So anyway, I'm going through this wilderness experience, and I'm really going through it isolated and alone. And to say the least, after going on, bear with me. I seem to be having a little, can you all hear me? If for some reason you cannot hear me clearly, dial one on your dial pad. If you cannot hear me clearly. Okay. I had a couple of people that couldn't hear me clear, so I just want to make sure I'm doing okay. Okay. So needless to say, after months of going through this and God begins, He'll begin to show you your heart. You know, He'll begin to show you those areas in your life that you need to get a hold on, that you need to get a grip on, that you need to begin to change. So anyway, my message on tonight is relinquishing your birthright. Relinquishing your birthright. And so you may want to get a pencil. You may want to get a pen. Take notes. This, I believe, is going to be an awesome message. This message is to me first. And if it blesses, it blessed me, and hopefully it'll bless you as well. So this message is to me first. So I'm going to do scripture as I always do. I want to lay the foundation. I don't want you to think that Coach D is just talking about some stuff that's not biblically based. So I want to go straight to the Word of God, and then once I set that down, then we'll build upon that. Amen. So let's just start off in Genesis. This is nothing that you're not familiar with, but I'm going to read it. I'm going to read these words, and my prayer is that these words will be powerful, that these words will be productive, that they will be light, that they will give you revelation knowledge, that you will begin, that it will speak your story to you, and that you could begin to process through your story of what you're going through, the things that you keep going through. Some of us keep going through the same thing over and over and over again, and we're wondering why. You know, why I keep going through this? Why I keep tripping over the same rock, so to say? So let's just see if this will help you as it did me. We're going to start in Genesis 3, and I'm going to start, I'm going to read 12 verses. So bear with me here. I'm going to read them quickly. So now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, has God said ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die, for God knows that in that day that ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as God, knowing good and evil. And then the woman saw the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise. She took of the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of them both were open, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself. And he said, who told thee that thou wast naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldest eat? And the man said, the woman whom thou gavest to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat. Now we're going to skip. We're going to go to another verse. We're going to go to Genesis chapter 25, And with that, I'm going to start at verses 27 and 34. Now, just keep Genesis 3 in mind, what we just read about the first sin in the garden. And now we're going to skip over to Genesis 25, and I'm going to go start with Scripture 27. I'm going to read to 34. And the boys grew, and Esau was a cunning hunter and a man of the field. And Jacob was a plain man dwelling in tents. And Isaac loved Esau because he did eat up his venison. But Rebekah loved Jacob. And Jacob sold pottage. And Esau came from the field, and he was faint. He was hungry. And Esau said to Jacob, "Feed me, I pray thee, with that same red pottage, for I am faint." Therefore was his name called Edom. And Jacob said, "Sell me this day thy birthright." And Esau said, "Behold, I am at the point to die." In other words, I'm going to die. What the heck I need birthright for? And what profit should this birthright do to me? And Jacob said, "Swear to me this day." And he swore unto him. And he sold his birthright unto Jacob. Then Jacob gave Esau bread and pottage of lentils. And he did eat and drink and rose up and went his way. Thus Esau despised his birthright. Father God, we thank you for your word on tonight. We thank you, Father God, that your word is to produce change. Father God, that we not just be hearers, Father, but that we'll be doers of the word that you have presented for us, Father. Father God, I just pray that this word will reach out and touch the hearts of all your people, everyone listening in live and those to listen in later. Father God, we just thank you for your presence. You are welcome in the studio on tonight. Father God, have your way, Father God. Lord, we are looking for deliverance, Father. We're looking for clarity, Father God. We're looking for direction. And we just thank you, Lord, that you're willing to provide and we're willing to listen. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So we read about Adam and Eve. Everybody knows the story. I actually use the story in my book, but I'm speaking about it from a different light. I'm talking about pain. But tonight I want to talk about birthright. And Adam and Eve had a birthright. They have birthrights. All of us have these birthrights that we receive just as children of God. We have various rights. And tonight I'm going to talk about a few that I'm going to name. But these birthrights that I'm going to name, I'm naming them because they cover everything in our lives. Each one of these I'm going to name, it covers every single thing in our life. And so tonight, for this the purpose of this teaching, the birthrights, and I am a minister and a student of CBM, Christian Business Ministries, which is Allen Hattie Hollingsworth. And the reason I'm acknowledging that is my spiritual parent. So some of the words, some of the phrases I use, I have gotten from CBM, and I just want to acknowledge my CBM and Vertical League family on tonight. So birthrights are confidence, courage, hope, belief, faith, and trust in God as our source. I'm going to repeat that. Write them down. Confidence, courage, hope, belief, faith, and trust in God as our source. Amen. So I just want you to keep that in the back of your mind as I go forth with this message on tonight. Those are the birthrights, and I'm only named those six because each one of those things cover every area of our life. If you think about it, you know, when we don't have confidence, then we'll do, you know, we may have false confidence, arrogance. We may make certain decisions. When we're not courageous, then we're in fear and we're in worry, we're in doubt. So each one of those cover everything that we're going to be discussing on tonight. So we talked about Adam, and we knew Adam, they had those birthrights. Adam was confident. Why? Because he's walking and he's communing with God in the garden. You know, Eve is his wife, and he's showing her, and they know no sin. You know, all they know is the presence of God in their life. And so they're doing all this presence. They know God. See, when you know God and you spend time with God and then you do something to take you out of order with God, that's an isolation, and that's an isolation that many of us believe hell is going to be. It's going to be eternal separation from God. You no longer know if you ever experience. See, for those who never experienced, what do they miss? But for us who experience, for us who said we love the Lord, for us who said that we're believers, we're Christians, you know, we walk by faith, See, for us to be separated from God, that's major. That's major because we're going to miss the presence. So I'm only imagining that Adam and Eve, you know, they had a relationship with God, but then when they sinned, when they were disobedient and did something that God told them not to do, then they became conscious. They became aware of their circumstances and their situations. They became aware that they weren't clothed. They became aware. And what's the first thing they did? God didn't separate them from him, but they separated themselves from God. How many of us have experienced that? I went through that for 2 months where when we are out of order and we know, you know, we have a sense, whether we normally know, subconsciously know, but there's some inner knowing when we are out of order that we will separate ourselves from God. We try to hide from God, just like Adam and Eve, no different. They brought that spirit into the earth. We will go and hide when we know we're wrong, when we know we're out of order. It's easier a lot of times, instead of just repenting, had Adam repented, where would we be today? But instead of just repenting, the first thing we'll do is hide. And some of us are just hide for weeks. And some of us are hide for months. And some of us are still hiding for years because we got mad or did something we weren't supposed to do and somebody brought it to our attention and we got mad because the pastor brought it to our attention, so now we don't want to go to church no more. Amen? So we will hide because it's in our flesh, our nature. That's our response, is to hide. And so we see that with Adam and Eve, they hid in the garden. They didn't want God to see them. They were ashamed. They were embarrassed. How many of us are doing things that we know we're ashamed, we're embarrassed, and the last person we want to have a relationship with right now is God? Because because either we're ashamed and embarrassed or we like what we're doing. And because we like what we're doing, we ain't trying to hear what God is getting ready to tell us. We ain't trying to hear the man or woman of God who God is speaking through to tell us to get right. And a lot of times God will warn us to get right in certain areas. He'll speak softly to us. He'll convict our hearts. And if we don't be true to our convictions, guess what? What's the next day? You go from not being true to your conviction to condemnation, because that's what the enemy's job is. He came to kill, steal, and destroy. So he wants to isolate you. He wants you to feel guilty. He wants you to feel ashamed. He wants you to feel like there's no hope. And how many of us have done that? We're out of order and we feel embarrassed. We feel ashamed to go back to God. We feel ashamed, like, oh, Lord, I failed you. I blew it. This time I've blown it. I just really, oh, gosh, how can I go back to you? I let somebody steal my peace, or I let somebody steal my anointing, or I did something that I know was not right. I knew it was out of order. I knew it wasn't part of my destiny, but I'm still operating in it. And then the next thing you know, we're isolated and we're ashamed. Now I'm going to go over, that was a briefing on Genesis, but now I want to go over to what this message is about, and it was about Esau and Jacob. And so you have to understand, in the natural, let me just share the birthright, what birthrights are about in the natural. We're going to be talking about spiritual tonight, but in the natural, birthrights are, in the biblical days, and probably still is that the birthrights are for the firstborn. The firstborn. So the firstborn son, he gets a double portion. He gets the rights of his father's inheritance. It's not that the other kids won't receive anything, but he gets the double portion. He becomes the authority for the family should something happen to the dad. So he becomes, in essence, the leader. And he receives those birthrights as the firstborn. And so with this story with Esau and Jacob, Esau was the firstborn. And technically, Esau should have received the birthright. But you see, he was kind of swindled out of his birthright because his flesh. See, Eve was swindled because of her flesh. It wasn't about her heart. It was her flesh. Her flesh wanted to be like a god. Her flesh needed to know that she wanted to know that she knew it all, that she was wise. It was the desires of her flesh. Anytime we sell our birthrights, anytime we relinquish our birthrights, I guarantee you the flesh is always behind it. Our desires. Women, You're giving up your birthright because you're sleeping with men that's not your husband. I'm sorry if I stepped on your toes, but I have to say it. You have a birthright as a daughter of the Almighty. And when you're sleeping with a man that is not your husband, you're giving up your birthright. And it's, again, it's the flesh. Because if it wasn't the desire of the flesh, you wouldn't even, if it wasn't the desire of the flesh, then you probably wouldn't even be having a desire for sex. Sex is pleasing to the body. It's pleasing to the flesh. So if you're doing that, and I'm saying ladies, but men too. Men, are you, if you're having these women outside of marriage, guess what? You're selling your birthright. And you're taking her birthright. Amen? And so that's what Eve did. But then also Esau. What was the first thing? Why did he give up his birthright? Again, that darn flesh. Man, that flesh will have you doing some stuff. It will have you caught up. It would have you telling lies. It will have you being deceptive. It would have you being deceitful. It would have you angry. The flesh. And I'm not just talking about lust or the spirit of sex or any. I'm talking about so many things that the flesh, the desire, flesh, the ego is, your ego is flesh. Arrogance is flesh. And so the flesh will have you doing stuff. And what I'm trying to get you to see in the scriptures, if you look at it from a spiritual standpoint, that each one of these stories, and I could go to other stories. I could talk about Samson. He lost his birthright. What was one of his birthrights? It was his strength. But he was lusting behind Delilah. And guess what? She got him tripped up. And he lost his birthright. So I'm just saying, in each one of these stories, and we go on and on and on about each thing, you will see in these stories is that it was always the flesh that produced someone to lose their birthright, the desire of the flesh. And because we're not disciplined in our flesh, you know, and discipline is what? Delaying one's self-gratification. Being undisciplined, saying, nope, I want it now. No, I don't want to wait. No, I don't want to exercise. No, I want to eat what I want to eat when I want to eat it. I want to, you know, I want to do what I want to do. Oh, I want to be married. Ain't nothing about if God wants you to be married or if God wants this. It's all about what I want, what the desires of my heart, or, you know, what my flesh wants. And a lot of times, sometimes it's not even the desire of your heart. It's the desire of your flesh. It's what your flesh wants, and generally what your flesh wants is generally out of order of what God wants for us. And that's how we keep getting in trouble. That's how we keep getting in failed relationships, and that's how we keep making decisions. Some people making decisions, you know that you only make $30,000 a year, but then you go and buy a $70,000 car. And knowing that you may not be able to afford to make the car note, but you go and do it because your flesh wanted it. Because why? Because this car looks good. And this car becomes your representation. If I drive this Benz or if I drive this Bentley, what does that say about me? What does that say about Coach D? It may say to everybody else that I got it going on, you know, that I'm established. That I have money, and all the time they don't know that at the end of every night you might be parking that Bentley in the carport. You get where I'm going? And again, don't get mad at Coach D. Please don't get mad at Coach D. Receive it. If it belongs to you, own it. Work with it. If it don't belong to you, hallelujah. Amen. But we'll get ourselves based on our flesh. Our flesh will get us in trouble. It'll cause us to be doing things that's out of order. It'll cause us to sell our birthright. Another birthright that's not listed here, but it still falls under the category, is our basic. It's peace. Many of us are losing our peace behind the desires of our flesh. What do you mean, Coach D? Getting ourselves in over here, you know, over our heads. That you lose your peace. Why? Because you're worried. Now you're worried about if you could afford to pay for the things that you have. You know, you get in relationships. Next thing you know, you done ran off and got married, and you said God bless you with a wife or God bless you with a husband, and now you're in a relationship with somebody that ain't godly, that is not on the same level as you. But what you thought you were going to do, you thought you were going to bring them up to your level. And so now you're caught up and you're stuck in this endless relationship and you don't have no peace. You come home at night and you guys have barely stayed in the same room because there's no peace. Our flesh will keep us struggling. What is relinquish? We use these words, and you know I'm big on word study, on word search. I want you to just understand. Relinquish, I said relinquishing, and then I said, man, is that even a word? And how does the word relinquish differ from other words like it? So words that's compatible, that's synonymous with relinquish is abandon, to resign, surrender, waive, and yield. While all these words mean to give up completely, the reason I used relinquish is because relinquish usually does not imply strong feelings, but suggests some regret, reluctance, or weakness. And I thought that was the perfect word for tonight's show was relinquish, because we're giving up something, but it's not like a strong, like I quit, I'm done. It's really in most cases when we're giving up our birthright, we normally end up having regret. We're reluctant. Sin is reluctant. Most of us don't just all of a sudden fall into sin. Normally sin taunts us. It tantalizes us. It teases us. And we become reluctant. Should I do this? Shouldn't I do this? Maybe I shouldn't do that. Oh, I know I should. You know, we go back and forth. So we have a reluctancy. And it normally hits us at a moment of weakness. It normally hits us at a moment of weakness because generally it's something else. There's a deeper rooted cause of why we decided to walk in that area of sin. It's normally a deeper cause. And just, you know, one of the deep causes, I'm trying to paint a picture because I want you to get it on tonight. You know, I hear a lot of single Christians say, you know, a lot of single Christians want to be married. And I'm no different. You know, I'm not panicking to get married or anything, but a lot of single Christians want to be married. You know, we want to be married. You want to have a godly relationship. And so if Christians are not careful, that desire to be married, that desire to be wanted, that desire to be in relationship with someone, you if you're not careful, desperation breeds counterfeits. I'm going to say that again. Desperation breeds counterfeits. And if you're not careful, before you know it, you've connected yourself with someone who is not the one for you. And before you know it, now you're in this relationship with this person. And now, because you're thinking, okay, this is it, this is, let me just show you how the enemy will work. Surely this is who God sent. This is the one. Oh, yeah, we're heading towards the direction of marriage, so everything's going to be great. So why not just, you know, we're trying not to have sex before marriage, but you slip up a couple of times, okay, we're going to be married. What's the big deal? And so the enemy will start playing tricks with you, and if the person that you're dealing with is not rooted and grounded in the word, the enemy will begin to use that person. And that person could be used willingly, or they could be used subconsciously, unwillingly, but they could be used if they're not rooted and grounded in the word, if they don't know how to pray, if they don't know how to go into warfare, if they don't know how to intercede, intercessory prayer, if they don't know how to do those things, if they're not full of the word, then yes, they will be used by the enemy. And if you're not careful, before you know it, the enemy has used this person, and it could taint your testimony. It could steal your anointing. It could, you know, because that's what they're drawn to, is drawn to the anointing. And what I mean by steal your anointing is that when we start making bad decisions, when we start doing things that's out of the will of God, and we begin to run as Adam did, how can you stand in your anointing? How can you stand in your authority? Anointing is the, remember we described before that anointing, the anointing is the very presence of God. You lose that anointing because you can't be in sin and be in the very presence, oh Jesus, and be in the very presence of God. The two can't exist. And if you think that you're And if you know you're in sin and you think you're in the very presence of God, guess what? Think again, because you can't, you're not. God's word clearly says that God is holy, and he's not going to be in the midst. He's not going to be in the midst of sin. That he can't. So if you are sinning, and you know what sin is, and I don't care how you try to dress it up, I don't care how much you try to put a pretty bow on it and package it up neatly, sin is sin. And it can't be dressed up. But it destroys your anointing, because it destroys the presence of God in your life. And if you're not operating in anointing, guess what? Then it makes it difficult. So let's move forward. So we talk about relinquishing. Of course, again, we talked about what birthrights are, but for tonight, we're talking about birthrights from a spiritual standpoint. So when we talk about birthrights today, we want to talk about we're talking about the rights that we have as children of God. We talked about some basic words: the confidence, the courage, the hope, trust, belief, you know, and God is the source. So we talk about those birthrights, and that's what we're talking about tonight. And I want you to keep those in your mind, because all of those tie back to everything that you deal with in life. And so we're talking from a spiritual standpoint. Birthright for us from a spiritual standpoint is a particular right of possession or privilege one has from birth, especially as, and we're talking about the eldest child, but in this case, we want to talk about it as something that you feel you have a basic right to as a spirit-filled believer of Jesus Christ. So when you read the word of God, you find all these promises, all these rights we have as believers. You find out about your authority as a believer. You find out, you know, peace is a basic right. It's one of the rights we have as believers. It's a birthright. Joy is a birthright. These are things that we're supposed to have. Our joy is supposed to be filled. No, we're not supposed to walk around being depressed all the time. If you walk around being depressed all the time, there's a problem. You're not connected to the right source. Would you go through some dark days? Yes, absolutely. Would you go through some wilderness experiences? Yes, absolutely. But if your whole life is spent in the wilderness, then that has little or nothing to do with God. That has to do with the choices and decisions that you're making in your life. It really does. Because, again, keep in mind, God brought the children to the wilderness, but no way were they supposed to stay for 40 years. You know, you hear different theological beliefs as to how long that trip was supposed to take. But let's just say it's supposed to only take 40 days, and they turned it into 40 years. 40 days of 40 years is a long time. That was a lot of disobedience. And most of them died in the wilderness. Even the man of God didn't make it out the wilderness. Amen. The Bible speaks about birthright. Jesus said, all things that the Father hath are mine. That's in John 16:15. All things that the Father hath is mine. And then it goes on and says, and fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. So right there again is God, and that's not the only scripture that God is telling us. There's things he wants to give us. There's things that he wants to bless us with. You know, he said he came that we may have life, or Jesus came that we may have life and that we may have life more abundantly. So he wants to give us the kingdom. The life of Christ Jesus showed that his birthright included the ability to master sin. Let me repeat that. The life of Jesus showed that his birthright included the ability to master sin. So, as believers of Jesus Christ, and if you're a believer, then you believe that the Spirit of God, which is the same Spirit in Jesus, is the Spirit that lives inside of us. So it's saying that one of our birthrights, when we're walking in our birthrights, and we're not selling out our birthrights or relinquishing our birthrights to the flesh, guess what? We have the ability to master sin. That's a birthright for us. So if you're having a difficult time dealing with sin and you keep getting stuck in sin in certain situations, and you keep going back and forth to these certain situations, what it's saying is you're not walking in your birthright. You have relinquished your birthright for morsels, mere morsels. Esau, you gave up your livelihood for some soup? And that sounds funny, and we think, I would never do that, but we do it. We do it. We give up so much. You know, we give up our body. We give up our attention. And you know that whatever you give your attention to, that spirit comes and lives inside of you. You become what you give your attention to. And it's not, this is not a negative, but it's what you want to be. And one of the things that we have to be careful, and I don't care who it is, your family, your children, when God has called you to a certain place that you need to be, it doesn't make you, see, you got to be careful, because people have you believing that you think you're better than them. People have you believing that you're critical, or that you're judging. But see, when God, you know where God called you to be, and I seen a little meme, and I thought it was cute. It says, you know what God called you to. No one else supposed to know. It wasn't a conference call. Amen. And so you know where God called you to be. Some of you know where God told you not to go no more. Some of you know what God told you to do, but you're not doing it. I know what God called me to do. I know what he told me to do. But in the desire of isolation, you know, because I was isolated, or because I have certain loves and I have certain loyalties and different things, I would put myself in environments. I'm not going to knock the environment, or I'm not knocking the people, so please understand me. I was putting myself in an environment that God said, I don't want you in. I don't want you to consume it. So I was not operating in the 80-20 rule. And the 80-20 rule is that I was giving 80% of my time to people that don't even support me. I was giving 80% of my time to people that's not regular listeners on my show. I was giving 80% of my time to people that wasn't encouraging me spiritually, wasn't causing spiritual growth. I was giving 80% of my time looking at certain TV shows and stuff that I enjoy. And so if I'm giving 80% of my time to all these things that's not edifying and that's not glorifying God, then where are you going? You're going to end up being empty. You're going to definitely end up in the wilderness. You're going to definitely, be doing things. Yes, I'm saying it. I repent, because I wasn't walking in the integrity that I needed to walk in. I had become, it says obedience is better than sacrifice. I had become sacrificial. You know, I was sacrificing on Thursday. And I didn't want to sacrifice no more. I didn't want to just be doing it just because I'm sacrificing. Okay, God, I can at least give you this. I could do this for you. Because I knew he was going to show up. Because it had nothing to do with me. So I knew he was going to show up on Thursdays. I knew he was going to bring a word. But guess what? The word wasn't for nobody but me. The word was for me. The word was for me. He was challenging me. And so I had to stop with the sacrifices. And now I'm in a spirit, in a season of obedience. And the season of obedience is saying, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord, I want to do this. Yes, Lord, I'm sold out. Yes, Lord, I won't waver. Yes, Lord, I will learn where I'm going to spend my time. I'm going to plant the right seed. I'm going to water the right garden. Because if you guys haven't recognized it now in this day and age, and if you're reading your words, you see, it's obvious, it's subtle. There's no wondering if, why, where. We are in the last days, and we've been hearing this. We've been hearing this since our grandparents and our grandparents' parents. But it's obvious. The Word of God says that the hearts are waxing cold. Family and friends are falling out with each other. behind a shot. A shot. People are falling out. People ain't friends with each other no more. Family members ain't friends with each other because of a shot. Because these people want to take the shot and these people don't. Instead of just exercising the love of God and let their decisions be between them and God and just love them anyway, people want to get mad at you and they want to persecute you because you're not taking the shot. And so people are falling apart. The other thing he said is that we would be lovers of ourselves more than lovers of God. Ooh, I'm humbled on tonight. I'm humbled. Because I was loving myself. And I didn't intentionally think that I was saying, God, I don't love you. But I was worried about myself. I was worried about my flesh. I was worried about what's going on with me. And those scriptures, they're in me. So they were coming up. And I had a discussion with my mentor, and he took me to a scripture. And it was Hebrews. It was Hebrews 3. And in Hebrews 3, I'm just going to read that real quick for you guys because I'm going to tell you, I was angry. Not angry in the sense of mad, but angry like, because I didn't feel like I was hardening my heart. I didn't feel rebelling. No way. No way was Coach D rebelling. I'm not going to rebel against God. Are you kidding me? And so my mentor had me turn to Hebrew, and I'm trying to get to there real quick. He had me turn to Hebrew 3, and he said, so start reading, and I started reading, you know, and I'm like, I'm reading it because I'm a good reader. And then he said, no, stop. He said, let's make this personal. He said, I want you to put your name everywhere where you can make it personal. I obliged because this is my spiritual mentor with all, you know, I want to give honor where honor is due. So he told me to read it, put my name, and I said, okay, I'll go ahead and read it and put my name. And, God, you guys, I'm trying to go through this book and talk. But, you know, so as I started reading it, I really got convicted. And I didn't like that feeling of conviction. So I was just like, okay. Well, I love you guys. Talk to you soon. And he was like, oh, so you just get ready to hang up? I said, well, no, I'm not just trying to hang up on you, but you made your point. I don't want to talk. So I'm saying that to say, you see, we all have those things about us. And so when, you know, going through Hebrew on that day, I didn't want to hear that because I didn't think. I was surely that he was missing the mark. He got to be missing the mark because I'm not rebellious. I don't have a hardened heart. I'm not saying I'm not going to follow God. But the reality of it was that even in my unconsciousness of not feeling that's where I was at, I was definitely there. And I didn't even know I was there. I did not even know I was there. So from that conversation, the Lord just really began to deal with me. He began to deal with me, and he began to, just take me through. I shut down. I just shut down. And when I say I shut down, I just got up under my covers. And, you know, the world would call it depression because that's what the world is good with putting titles. But I just shut down, and I just began to just cry out before the Lord. And I just began because what I didn't want to do was be turned over to a reprobate mind. I did not want the Lord to take his spirit from me. And I just began to seek him and search him and find out why was I making the decisions and the choices that I was making? Why was I headed in the direction that I was headed in? What was it that I was needing? What was it that I felt like I was missing? Why wasn't God enough? Why wasn't God enough for me? And he just began to minister to me and began to break the hardness of my heart because my heart was beginning to become hard. And how do you know when your heart is hard? You know when your heart is hard when you're not submitting to the will of God, when you're not being sensitive in the spirit to the direction of God. And so you know that. You'll know by your actions. You'll know by, you know, your desires. You'll know. And I just had to shut down. I had to cut everybody out of my life. Some people didn't understand why I'm not communicating, why I don't want to hang out, why I don't want to come. But I had to shut everybody out because I was in life or death. I felt like I was in a life or death situation. And I felt like I had to get it right. So that the verse in Hebrew was Hebrew 3, and it was starting, I think, it was starting at verse 7, wherefore, and I'm going to read it out of the living just so it could be plain and clear. It was verse 7, and it said, and since Christ is so much superior, the Holy Spirit warns us to listen to him, to be careful to his voice today, and not let our hearts become set against him as the people of Israel did. Those people stayed in the wilderness for 40 years because they allowed their hearts to become hardened, and they did not want to hear or be obedient to the will of God. And they got stuck for 40 years, and I didn't want to be stuck for 40 years. And so I just began, the prayer that I began to pray was nothing deep. It was nothing special. My daily prayer was, Lord, give me a heart of revival. Give me a heart of revival, because revival brings repentance. And I just wanted a heart of revival. I wanted that whatever those things that I was doing or whatever those things that I was giving my attention to that was not pleasing to God, that was not glorifying him, that was not edifying him, I didn't want those things. And I didn't even know some of the – I knew some things, sure, but some of the things I didn't even know that they really wasn't pleasing, because you could get into that mindset where you become unconscious. Whether you choose to or not, you become unconscious. And I'm not talking about unconscious as in laid out, knocked out in coma, but we could be – how many of us know that we could be awoke and still be unconscious? We could be awoke and still be unconscious, making decisions that's just not pleasing. I was making all kind of bad decisions. I was making all kind of bad decisions. Then I wanted to kind of get a little attitude because I made a decision that I'm now suffering the consequences for now, and I wanted to get an attitude because I'm suffering the consequences. See, and many of us do that, but most of us say that we'll make decisions that we didn't see God about. We didn't pray to God and ask him. We just make the decision, and then when the decision don't go according to what we think is supposed to go, then we want to get mad at God or wonder why God is not going to help us in that decision. And sometimes what God needs to do is just let us suffer in the consequences of our decision. Not because he just want to see us suffer, but his hope is that we'll learn a lesson from it, so that we won't make that decision again. Amen? So that we won't make that decision again. So when we speak, again, of selling birthright spiritually, we are in essence saying that one, that we, you, me, that we're exchanging something great, important, or of fundamental value for something that proves to be trivial or of no value, but which appears to be attractive or valuable on first reckoning. When we talk about selling our birthright spiritually, we're saying that we're giving up the most important thing to us, our confidence, our courage, our hope, our belief, our faith, our trust in God as our source. We're giving that up, and normally we're giving it up for stuff that don't even matter, stuff that's temporal. How many of you woke up, you know, you up late, 11 o'clock at night, you're lactose intolerant, but gosh, you know that Oreo cookie in the cookie ice cream in the freezer, man, that'll taste good right now. So you go in there and you get it, and you start munching on it, and it's immediate gratification. Oh, this is good. And you know with every bite of this goodness, it's going to cost you something. You know that when you take that last bite, not even 5 minutes later, you know your stomach is going to be bubbling, and you know it's going to make you sick. or you know you're going to have acid reflux, or you know your feet going to swell up, or you know your head's going to start hurting you, but we'll continue to eat certain things that we know will do that to us. We'll continue to call numbers of people that we know ain't what God ordained. But we'll continue to entertain conversations with those people. We'll continue to spend time with those people. And we know that God said, uh-uh. We'll go work jobs that we just for money. And I get it. I'm human. So I know when you got bills to pay, we have a tendency to take whatever we could get because we know we got bills to pay. But we'll go and work jobs that we know God is saying no. And we know that if we go and work that job, it's gonna affect our mental state. It's going to affect our emotional state. It's going to affect our walk. But we'll still take it. I'm talking to somebody tonight. Some of us will go pick up a sack, and me saying that, I don't even have to elaborate on what that means, because some of y'all know what that means. You'll go pick up a sack because you got bills to pay, and you feel like this is going to be your only means to get it paid. It gets everything you believe, but you feel like you got to do what you got to do. God says, you're selling your birthright. God says, you're selling your birthright. He wants you to be confident. He wants you to be courageous. He wants you to have hope. He wants you to believe. He wants you to have faith. He wants you to what? Trust him. Trust God as the source, as your source. And we all been guilty. We all been guilty of wanting to do it our way. Not God's way, but our way. And God is saying tonight to us, stop relinquishing your birthright. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not into your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge him and he shall direct your path. Father God, we just thank you on tonight, Lord. We thank you for loving us in spite of us. There was once a song that was sung that said, Lord, I thank you for looking past my faults and seeing my needs. And Father God, we just thank you for looking past our faults and seeing our needs. We thank you, Father God, that you are a forgiving God. And Lord, we thank you that you've never separated yourself from us, but it's merely us moving ourselves away from you as Adam and Eve did in the garden. Lord, we no longer want to hide. We no longer want to cover us, Father God. Father God, we just come humbly before your throne and we say, Lord, I repent. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to do this. I did not mean to do that, Father God. I'm sorry that I did. I didn't mean to be displeasing to you, Father. And Lord, I'm asking for your forgiveness of my sins and my shortcomings. Father God, we thank you that you loved us so much that you left your mind, a part of your mind behind that we find in your word. That's the mind of God, and we thank you, Lord, that you've left a part of your mind for us to be able to read and get and nurture our inner man, Father. We thank you that you left your Holy Spirit behind, and your Holy Spirit dwells in us, Father. Father God, we thank you for your anointing, your very presence, Father, and we thank you that you let us know on tonight that it is your very presence that gives us our birthright to be able to master sin, that we don't have to live a lifestyle of sin. So, Father, we thank you for allowing us to not have to live, even though we were born in it. And even though we made the decisions over and over again, Lord, that you're letting us know that we don't have to live that way. So, Father God, we thank you for sending your only son. We thank you for the blood of Jesus. We thank you that he was crucified and buried and that he rose again. We thank you, Father God, and we confess that with our mouths. And Lord, help us to believe it in our hearts so that we can walk it out, Father. Father God, I thank you for each and every person on the phone on tonight. Lord, I pray that you would touch them in a special way. Father God, I pray that you would meet every need according to your riches and glory in Christ Jesus. Father God, I pray that you will heal the hearts, for many have lost family members and friends during this time, Father God, that's going on right now, Father. Father God, many are walking in fear, but they think it's faith. And Father God, I just pray, we bind the spirit of fear. Father God, restore our birthright so that we could walk in confidence and be confident about everything, that we could walk courageously and not have to fear, that we will have hope in the future according to Jeremiah 29:11. Father God, that our belief system is strong. So, Father God, it don't matter about what other people are talking about the universe and vibes and crystals and ancestors and this and that. Father God, that we know that we serve the one true living God. And, Father, we thank you for that. So we want to make sure our belief is strong, Father. And, Father God, that we have faith. Because this walk is about faith. And faith is the substance of things that we hope for, but it's the evidence of things not seen. And so, Father God, we thank you for our faith. And, Lord, we completely trust you. We trust you with our lives. We trust you with everything. Lord, we trust that you know exactly the beginning and the end. You know exactly, Father God, what our journeys are going to be. You know exactly the plans that you have for us, Father God. You know exactly where we're supposed to be and what we're supposed to be doing. So we trust you completely, Father God. And you are God. You are our source. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen, amen. I want to thank each and every one of you for tuning in on tonight. I see someone dial one, and they're sitting in the queue, and I don't know if that was an accident. I'm going to open up the mic real quick. If you know that you dial one and it wasn't an accident, I'm going to give you an opportunity to say something. Hello? Okay, that might be it. Uh-oh. That might have been an accident. I think that was an accident. Well, what I will do really quickly, since we are closing out, if you are on the line tonight and you have a comment or a question or maybe a testimony, I may not be the only one that was going through a wilderness experience. Maybe some of you was going through a wilderness experience as well, and you have a testimony of how God brought you out the wilderness, because he definitely brought me out the wilderness. And I just know, you know, I just have to be a lot more aware that and know that, you know, that the wilderness experience is not just death. It's really a time for replenishing. It's a time for learning. You know, it's said that with every great adversity is the equal greater reward. The wilderness experience could be a form of adversity. And so the goal is are you going to sit there and die in the wilderness, or are you going to follow that voice? And that's going to navigate you out. And it's so funny because I've been going through all this. I haven't been going to my church. You know, COVID shut the churches down. And when the churches opened back up, I just went a couple of times and stopped going. And I remember just kind of like, Lord, my excuse was I need to find another church. And I got to do something different because I need to go somewhere where people get slayed in the spirit. I need to go see people get delivered because I need delivery. And I'm saying all this stuff. And I was saying it. And amazingly, on the end of my journey, because today really was the end of my journey, I was sitting today and I was, you know, just in meditation and doing some taking care of some business in my office. And my pastor called. And I haven't been to church. I'm telling you guys, I haven't been to church in months. And I'm not bragging about this. I'm being transparent. I haven't been to church in months. And I was talking to my sister and me and her fellowship together on the phone, and I was telling her, man, I really miss fellowship. It's not that I have to go to a church, because I am the church, and I don't have to necessarily go to a building. I get that. But there's something about coming together with the saints. There is strength in numbers. And, again, remember, the enemy wants to get you isolated. He wants to get you to himself so he could jump on you and beat you up. And so there's strength in numbers, and the reason for church is the fellowship. because now you're around other like-minded believers. You guys are praying for each other. You're encouraging each other. You're worshiping together. You're getting the word together, and it's important. Fellowship is important, and it says in the Word of God not to forsake the assembling. So whether you're doing it in a traditional sense of a church or building, or you doing it in a Bible study, weekly group, or whatever, please find somewhere to fellowship. And so anyway, saying all that, out of all these months, my pastor called me today, and he said, Sister Hamilton, and I was like, yes, Pastor. He said, look, he said, the Lord told me to call you. He said, you was in the wilderness, and when you're in the wilderness in the forest and you don't have no trackers, it's easy to get lost in the forest and you can't get out. He said, and I ain't seen you in a while, and I've been asking everybody about you, so I'm assuming you got lost in the wilderness. So I'm going to give you some trackers so you can make your way out. I'm snatching you out. And I thought that was so amazing. It sounds stupid. It sounds funny. But I thought that was so amazing that God would use him to call me. And I'm talking about the church I go to is a big church. It's a huge church. So to be that huge of a church and God to use him when he got all these members to use him to give me a call personally, that was confirmation for me. It was confirmation that God was saying, I ain't forgot about you. You ain't been left behind. I'm still here. Amen. So again, I just want to thank everybody again. If you do have anything that you would like to say before we close out tonight, please dial one on your dial pad. That'll let our team know that you have a question or a comment. We are back up. We are in a new season. Every Thursday, 7 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, 9 p.m. Central Time, we will be having a show during this season. I'm going to do some things a little different. I'm going to begin to bring, you know, not all the time, but at least once or twice a month, I want to be able to bring in guests to come in and be able to share testimonies or share the word. I just want this to be more, just exciting. So we do have a caller. Hold on just 1 second. Caller, area code, last four digits. 2688, you are live while processing the pain. Caller, area code 510, last four, 2688.
Blessings, blessings, sis, and blessings to all the listeners out there as well. Much love from Oakland, California. I just wanted to chime in real quick, sis, and say that this was a marvelous show. Definitely a good word, a word for me. It's actually been the tug of my heartbeat actually for the last couple of months as well in terms of feeding the spirit and trying to die to that flesh. So I just want to say that you spoke to me and I come into agreement, and I'm glad you're back. Amen.
Amen. Well, thank you, my brother. I'm glad to be back. I've missed everyone, and I'm just glad to be back on the right journey. So thank you for listening in, and thank you for your continual support.
Amen.
Okay. Do we have anyone else before we close out? Give it a couple of minutes, and then we will go ahead and close out. And I will see you all on next Thursday, same time, same place. I'm going to put it out there. I will we have a conference coming up. I have a conference, a boot camp, so to say, coming up December the 11th. December the 11th, mark your calendar, especially me and you are welcome. You are definitely welcome, but ladies, I'm speaking to you. Mark your calendars, December the 11th here in Houston at the Hyatt Regency. This will be the first conference that Coach D is putting on for Processing the Pain. I am partnering with another ministry as well, and so I'm excited about that. So just mark your dates, December the 11th. I'll give more information as it comes about, but keep me in prayer. There are some things that I'm still trying to get resolved and going through, but glory to God, I know he has a plan. But I'm just going to ask my my supporters to keep me, just keep me lifted in prayer that that I will stay in the will of God, and that, you know, God knows the situations that he will begin to just kind of open up some doors of opportunities. So I just thank you all for that. Know that you are truly, truly, truly loved and appreciated. And I look forward to being with you all next week. Have a good one. Mwah.
I surrender.